Hi, everybody, and welcome to a Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Donatella My Secrets.
And my name is Coco Gem Holiday.
How are you doing tonight, Coco?
I recognize that I didn't crack a cocktail before actually deciding to record this with you. So.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
I know. Let's see how sober I'm going to be this episode.
So fun and sober. Well, you know what? We're going to be a lot of fun because we're talking about the theater.
Theater.
Were you a theater kid?
Yes and no. I only did musical theater. I never acted in a stage play. I always, because I was more of a singer.
You never did a straight play as opposed to a gay play?
Yeah, I never did a straight play. That was kind of a word for me, so it's not really my journey.
I did do straight plays.
Did you really?
I did Pride and Prejudice, and I hated it.
Yikes.
So bad. That was Mr. Bingley.
Oh my.
The worst character, because he's the most boring character.
I've been there, done that, wrote the book. I think the first, so I was in four musicals in high school, and we did Les Mis,
mm-hmm.
and you know what character I played? So you know that scene, like, right before, not Eponine, oh my gosh, what is the main girl's name?
Fantine.
Yeah. So I was the guy who tries to rape her.
That's
the part I played.
That was the part that you got.
Yeah, the one where she smacks him, right, and then he sings his little song about how she's a whore or whatever. Yeah, that's the character I played.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's a... Really was a confusing time for me.
So probably not your favorite role.
No. And then my favorite role was I got to play Simon in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, that's cool.
And so he does that, like, that big dance scene song or whatever, so I got to do that. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was good.
My least favorite was definitely Bingley. And then my most favorite role was Mark Cohen in Rent. That was definitely my favorite, like...
God, so many words.
I had a lot of fun. I know it is a lot of words, because he's like the narrator, pretty much, of that musical.
A narrator and the singer.
Yeah.
And the answering machine.
Well, it's a rock opera, so it's like all singing. So it's like... Yeah, all singing narration. A little, I mean, Mark has more talk. I'd say Mark has the most talking parts.
That just feels so overwhelming to me. Yeah. I would never want to play Mark. Like, that's too much for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have gotten all those words wrong. Speak. No, I'm just joking. So we're talking about musicals today, because as this is actually going to be our fifth part to our queer media and representation.
Yes.
We actually realized we were skipping over musicals, and no, we are not going into stage plays after this. We are done with this series.
Wow.
It's been fun. Thank you for being on this wonderful journey. Hopefully we get picked up to do an HBO special.
That's definitely happening.
What? If they can see how gorgeous I am in my drag.
Convince yourself. Delusion.
Delusion.
I know, in both of our drags, we're actually... We actually are basing our looks off of famous musicals tonight. I am wearing the full getup from Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
French flip curls, all of it. I got my denim on right now. I got my boots and my fishnets.
Yeah, it's weird watching her with these gold boots. I'm sitting in this chair. And me, I'm just living out my kinky boots fantasy. I'm being Lola with my tall red boots on and my red shiny gown.
Yes. We look gorgeous.
My shake and go, because that's what was worn in that.
This is what we do for you, listeners. This is what we wear.
With a perfectly blended smoky eye.
It doesn't work unless we are completely done up.
Yeah, otherwise I don't want to record.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why I don't have my martini right now. For all of our straight listeners out there who don't listen to musicals, we're kind of talking about two subjects. We're going to talk about some musicals we like, and we'll have queer themes and queer characters, obviously. But we're going to kind of talk about what musicals mean to the queer kids.
And to drag queens, because honestly, it's influenced drag performance a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's just even start off with how Donatella talked about Rent. So, like, we're going to talk about Kinky Boots and Rent right now, because those... I just recently watched the Kinky Boots Broadway version on Broadway HD, and there's a lot of parts in that musical for drag queens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was just so fantastic to just have, like, a whole, like, ensemble of just drag queens.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Like, it's really cool that, I mean, and then you also have, you know, Angel. They don't really go into Angel's, like, identity in Rent, but that's, like, one character that was, like, very influential when it came to drag and musicals.
Right.
You know, Today for You.
tomorrow for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so, you know, it's funny, they never do, I've watched Rent about a billion times, the musical and the movie, and they never really talk about Angel's sexual orientation, mm-hmm. or gender identity.
Yeah.
Actually, because they do talk about gay quite a bit with those two characters. But yeah, no, seriously, it was, they never quite mentioned it, and it was okay, because it wasn't necessary for great storytelling.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. No.
And so that's kind of the thing, listeners. Like, so musicals, I know everybody thinks musicals can be quote unquote queer because a lot of queer kids they're like awakened by them.
Yeah.
Like, to a degree. Because I think it's because in song, we don't have to shy away from the weird or the unnatural or the taboo.
Well, and you're around other theater kids, and the chances are of, you know, the other male theater kids being gay, it's like a 50-50 shoot most of the time.
I mean, absolutely.
I there's still plenty of theater kids that are, you know, grew up to be very straight, handsome male actors that I went to, like, high school and college with. But there's also just a whole lot of gay in theater, too.
So much gay.
Like, I feel like it's already kind of a safe place when it comes to performing, because mm-hmm. most gays, I would say a lot of gays like theater. I've definitely met some that aren't too keen on it, but mm-hmm. We don't talk about them.
No.
Sativa.
No, it's so weird, like, when there's just not a band of queer people who like musicals. I know that sounds like so stereotypical, but like, a lot of our people are in musicals.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't going to talk about this, but apparently the whole cast of, what is that musical called that we were just looking at? It said the whole ensemble?
Chorus Line,
apparently.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm
not super familiar with the stage version of that show, so I don't know how queer Chorus Line is, but I guess...
I think it could be, though. Because when you think about it, a lot of male dancers in musicals mm-hmm. Happen to be queer.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the safety of that.
I would say a lot of guys in entertainment. Yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah, it makes sense.
Like, it just does make sense. Yeah, so, I mean, that's definitely, like, a very queer-influenced musical, because I'd say a lot of queens perform songs from mm-hmm. Chorus Line, and a lot of people really love that musical, and it just has a lot of LGBTQ themes as well.
Yeah. So getting on with more drag queens, actually, because usually a drag queen may play this part, or a trans person, is the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yes. Iconic. Frankenfurter. I remember, like, my dad just saying, that's a weird show. Like, I really wanted to see it, because everyone would talk about it. He'd be mm-hmm. like, nah, you don't want it. It's weird. I'm like, but I feel like I'd like it. And so I watched it when I was in high school, and I loved it. And
I love the Rocky Horror.
It's so good.
I love the lips. The lips are some of my favorite.
Do you remember when we shadow casted Rocky Horror?
We did shadow cast Rocky Horror.
Oh my gosh, in that cold ass theater.
Oh my gosh, that was ridiculous.
So the theater that we were doing it at, like a week before we were supposed to do this event, mm-hmm. Their power got turned off, or they mm-hmm. were like, they lost their liquor license.
Yeah.
Like, all sorts of things were happening. So they couldn't charge for liquor there. And then also it was like cold as fuck. And so Coco and me and the rest of the cast were just getting real, real drunk to try and make it through this night in this cold ass theater in the basement, in the dressing room in the basement.
Yeah.
We were just getting real drunk. And Coco was Columbia and I was Magenta.
Yes, I was Columbia. And I remember, the funny thing is, like, doing a shadow cast version of that, not to get too off topic, listeners, but it's a long show.
It is so long.
To be acting out the things people are doing.
Yeah, yeah.
My good golly gosh.
Yeah. We all looked really good, though. We looked the parts. I remember mm-hmm. I even had my, like, magenta wig, and I even had my, like, the whole, like, space outfit at the end, mm-hmm. too. And that was a lot of fun.
Oh, you did! I remember mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, we walked out from the back, like down the alleyways. It was actually, I really wish like someone would have filmed it, because it actually was a really cool experience.
Yeah,
like,
we have some pictures from it.
We do.
With me and Donna in our aprons.
Yeah,
as we're, like,
and
getting
the masks.
Rocky ready.
Yeah.
so stupid.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Had fun.
Oh my gosh, that's cool. Sorry, little trip down memory lane. if you've never seen Rocky Horror, pretty much. it's a problematic film nowadays, but it's also a cult classic, so it still stays around, and it's still widely accepted. I mean, they even did, because, you know, there's, like, the live shows that are happening now, so, like, they did Hairspray Live and The Wiz Live, yes. And they also did Rocky Horror Live.
They did with Laverne Cox.
Yeah. Playing Frankenfurter.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, for listeners, if you don't know what Rocky Horror is, that's where the time warp comes from.
Yes. Yes, and everyone should know what Rocky Horror is. And if you don't, shame
are you
on
listening?
Shame on you.
Hey. Sorry, I just ASMR'd you. Oh, goodness.
But yeah, so, yeah, Rocky Horror.
Well, I feel like we should go from drag queens to puppets. So, Avenue Q.
Avenue Q is great. Yeah. There was a gay character in Avenue Q.
Yeah.
And then also Avenue Q was, I don't know. It had the whole, like, Sesame Street themes and stuff to it. And it was just, like, dirty, fun puppets. And it was just a really fun musical. I enjoyed it. The only gay character in it, I think, is, like, like very closeted and, like, mm-hmm. not wanting to come out. And it's a very familiar trope in musicals, I'd say.
And then also in the second part of our series, and actually in the first part, we talked about this a lot, about... We do wish, like, if we do get famous from this podcast, I'm asking everybody in Hollywood who's now my friends, please make stories that are not just about queer kids coming out of the closet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, heavens. And that's actually kind of why Rent was so great. Oh, my gosh, we can talk about one for that. Because the characters in Rent weren't struggling with sexual orientation.
No, they weren't. They were struggling with a multitude of other issues. Like, I mean... Yeah.
The AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Well, it wasn't even just that. It was addiction.
And addiction.
It was
poor. Like, poverty.
Being poor. It was civil rights, you know, like, classist issues, you know.
Yeah, lots of class issues.
You know.
But, and the one thing, too, though, that's actually really good, because, like, I really identified with those, because I don't... Having characters who already knew who they were, like with mm-hmm. Angel and Colin, were really important for my development after, because mm-hmm. I found out about Rent in high school, actually.
Yeah.
And my friends were telling me about it. They're like, it's cool, it's about all these gay characters doing, like, drugs or whatever. And I was like, oh, that sounds kind of crazy. Anyway, so, like, after I heard Seasons of Love, because, you know, mm-hmm. everybody heard Seasons of Love. It's like everybody's graduation high school song for, like, 30 years.
Yeah. I heard it at a dinner theater for the first time when I was a kid, like, in middle school. I heard it at a dinner theater, and I was like, I love that.
It's so pretty. But, yeah, no, like, that's why I think that was so different. And so that actually, let's take us into March of the Falsettos.
Yeah. So that was something that actually Touche was the one that kind of put me onto it first, because she did a song from it.
Yeah.
And then Autumn was like, hey, we should watch this musical. And so we watched it, and it is so good. It's very complex, because it deals with a man and a woman who are in a relationship and have a kid, and the man is gay and is seeing this other man,
mm-hmm.
and basically he, like, wants to keep the family still together, though, mm-hmm. so he still wants to parent while his wife is kind of losing it, watching her husband be with this man, right. And, it basically kind of shows the span of, like, is it kind of, like, decades, or is it...
It's probably a few years.
Because
she gets remarried.
Yeah, she gets remarried. It's not decades. I would say it's probably, like, 5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
But it kind of chronicles the span of, like, how, ever since that happened, their relationship as a family has evolved into something bigger.
Yeah.
You know.
And the gay characters in this, why I like them so much, like the themes of the first two parts of this series, is they were very gay and, like, very hot for each other.
Uh-huh.
Like, their songs together showed, like, the passion that they had for mm-hmm. one another. Like, and, like, their fights were passionate and
yes.
very silly and ridiculous. And, of course, throughout the course of the musical, it goes into being something a little bit more serious, because the way that the musical does end... a little bit of a spoiler alert here. Big spoiler alert. The way the musical ends is that one of the gay characters dies, actually.
Yeah.
Because of AIDS, actually. Yeah. And so it's like a really heartwarming scene. It's really sad and it's whatever. And like the way that they depict this scene and like this character getting sick was just really eye opening. And like, I'm not actually sick and tired of those stories per se, because those stories were so real and we lost so many people to the AIDS crisis. Mm-hmm. And so those stories will always be impactful. But I really did love the fact that we weren't like going through another coming out of the closet moment.
Yeah.
Specifically because I forgot my cocktail. I need to take a break. Sorry. So Donna, how are you doing this evening?
I don't know. Let's let our viewers know after this brief commercial break. Listeners, not viewers. Listeners know. Bye. Hey everyone, are you ready for the next digital interactive drag experience? Tune in for Introvert, September 5th at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Headliners will include Ursula Major from Season 1 of the Boulay Brothers Dragula, and Alexis Bevels, the winner of Camp Wanakiki Season 1. Also, we'll have Jessica Lahore from the Denver Drag Scene. Tickets are $5, and you can buy them at www.thecitiesdrag.com/introvert.
It's a podcast. Check it out. With Coco and Donatella podcast. Check it out. Tune into What They Tell You podcast. Check it out. With Coco and Donatella podcast. Check it
out. I tried to be Elphaba coming back because I feel theatrical. I feel very musical. I feel very happy that we're talking about musicals.
That's so funny. So that's from Wicked listeners, because I know some of you out here are like, what the heck was that supposed to be? that was sad. We can't talk about Wicked in this episode because it didn't actually really have any queer themes or
no,
queer
but
characters.
We can talk about how drag queens have, how it's influenced drag, you know?
Yeah, it definitely
Because I
has.
Feel like so many drag queens do an Elfie, and I mean, you and I have done it. Autumn yeah. and I have done it, an Elfie and Glenda thing.
Yeah, that Because I Knew You song is very iconic in queer yeah. circles.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
I knew you, I've changed for good.
I want to talk about one specific musical that basically shaped me from high school on, and that was Spring Awakening.
You know, I've never seen it.
It's so good. So Spring What's Awakening. Spring Awakening is a book by Wedekind, who was a German author, and he wrote this book about adolescents basically coming into their manhood and womanhood. Mm-hmm. There are gay themes in Spring Awakening. There's two gay characters. There are themes of rape and sexual abuse in Spring Awakening. There are themes of suicide in Spring Awakening. And it is a very deep, sad, dark musical, but it is put to pop rock music really? By Duncan Sheik, who was a one-hit wonder in the 90s. And so it's like basically, or pop punk, it's pop punk. It's like pop rock, pop punk kind of musical. It's a rock musical. It's really great. And it has some of my favorite songs. It's really badass. And it's something that when I first heard it, basically, when I was in high school, I was like trying to do that thing like, oh, I don't like musicals. They're kind of, you know, because I was in the closet and trying to pretend like I wasn't homosexual. but then I heard Spring Awakening and I was like, damn, this sounds like it was playing on the radio and I want to keep listening to it. And so I did. And it definitely, it's really cool. It has like very strong themes. And these teens are basically in a school in Germany in the 1800s, and it's about them coming into their sexuality and kind of coming into and dealing with these societal issues and their stories.
I might have to check it out. It might be on Broadway HD.
Yeah,
please sponsor us.
Lea Michele originated her role in it, and then so did Jonathan
really?
Groff, and that's how they got. Yeah, Lea Michele and Jonathan Groff.
Oh wow!
And then they were both on Glee together.
That's really cool.
And ended up together on that.
Yeah,
show.
Ended up together. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Sorry, did it in the wrong order. Whatever. If you haven't seen Glee by now,
yeah,
get on board.
Yeah.
So that brings me to one that changed my life when I was in my early college days, which was Altar Boys, which is an off-Broadway musical. Yes, I know I included off-Broadway in here. Please sue me. But
I'll talk about my off-Broadway one next.
Yeah. So, okay. Altar Boys is just a story about four altar boys and whatever, and they're pop stars, and like that's what makes it funny. But one of the character is abundantly, stereotypically, incredibly gay. who's in love, who is mostly in love with the lead singer of the band. Mm-hmm. And it's, actually, is there four? There's five of them. There's five of them. Sorry, there's five of them in Altar Boys. And that's, like, so the song Epiphany that I love the most is a song about him thinking he's going to come out of the closet to everybody, but he just comes out as a Catholic, and that's why the song is so funny. But the reason this whole musical resonated with me is because I was super into boy bands for so long in college. Mm-hmm. Gosh, it lasted, like, 3 months, which in college is a long time. And so I was, like, listening to all this stuff, and that musical came out, and I was like, oh my god, I identify with this storyline so much. Because mm-hmm. it's about finding yourself and, like, understanding your truth. And, like, so I really recommend it to people. The music is great. And actually, most of the musicals we've talked about, like, the music is great.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. The one that I want to talk about that it didn't ever have a Broadway debut. It had some big success in the UK on the West End. But Heathers is actually off-Broadway. Mm. It's based off of the late 1980s movie with Winona Ryder. And Heathers influenced gay culture in so many ways, being one of those big, like, Mean Girls movie.
You know? I think it was.
Yeah, because then in the 90s you had Jawbreaker, the 90s version of Mean Girls. So right. I feel like every decade kind of has those, like, clicky Mean Girls types of movies.
Yeah, I love Heathers. My favorite song is Dead Girl Walking.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, good God. I don't know why I can't get that song out of my head whenever I hear about it. It's just so good.
And there is a song about gay themes called My Dead Gay Son. And there's the musical.
I have not heard all the music.
It's when they frame... So basically, if you've seen the movie, they frame, like, the quarterbacks and one of the other football players to have, like, a gay love story. They, like, frame that they killed each other in, like, this big gay love story, and so it's the dad singing his song about his dead gay son.
Jeez.
But yeah, it's dark. Heathers was a dark comedy, so it's lovely. I really enjoy the music from it. You know what, did you have a brain tumor for breakfast, Heather?
Oh my gosh. Shut up, Heather.
Shut up, Heather.
Candy store. Anyway.
How very.
Gosh, it's so good. So switching more to, like, a little bit more of a serious note, the two musicals I want to talk about just kind of in conjunction, because I talked about one of them already, is, like, so musicals gave the opportunity for black people to have the ability to be on stage. So I'm not going to talk about The Wiz per se, because that was one of the first that gave black people, a full black cast, like, the opportunity to perform on Broadway, and did it to, obviously, a retelling of The Wizard of Oz, because we're also not talking about Wicked. Mm-hmm. But the two I want to talk about are Kinky Boots and then, of course, The Color Purple. Now, The Color Purple has a predominantly all black cast as well.
Yeah.
And the thing about Celie, if you know this about The Color Purple, the book and the movie, especially in the book, Celie was a lesbian. She wasn't bisexual. She was a lesbian. And obviously, Hollywood, when they created The Color Purple movie, didn't really do that with her. Like, and then in the musical, I haven't seen the whole thing, so I don't know how close they get there either. But in the books, Celie was very much a lesbian. There's a line that pretty much where she's talking to Suge Avery, or actually she's talking to Mister, I think, later in life. Mm-hmm. And it basically says, do you not like men? She's like, I don't know. She's like, but I know I like women, is pretty much what she says. Mm-hmm. Like, and so that's like that whole musical just really resonates with me, because it's obviously black empowerment. And same with Kinky Boots. Like, Lola is, like, having a starring role as a drag queen, a black drag queen, by the way, because I didn't mention that earlier.
The lyrics are written specifically for
that empowerment.
Black drag queen, yes.
And it's just, I don't know, it's just mind-blowing in a way that it's just, I don't know, it's, like, full circle. It's just totally full circle.
That's awesome. The representation in Broadway has been great for many years, and it's good to see it including more and more, like, diverse stories. We see it more and more as time goes on, because we have more writers that have more to tell and come from different backgrounds.
Well, and then let's think about it this way too, listeners. Like, we have heard every straight story in existence. Mm-hmm. Every single one I've heard twice.
Yeah.
Like, and so when you, even if you pop a gay character into a Cinderella story, the most common story that we've all heard, like,
that's representation.
Even that's representation, but it's also different.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many ways you can tell straight people. They're like, ooh, what if we did, like, Cinderella, but, like, in space? And you're like, It's the same story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same story.
Make it Cinderfella.
Make it Cinderfella. Make it interesting for the rest of us, because honestly, it does. It gets a little bit boring.
Yeah.
So,
let's talk about some of the classic musicals, too. You know, like, we have things like The Producers that have gay themes in it.
Yes.
With, you know, the whole, like, Springtime for Hitler.
Springtime for Hitler in Germany.
And we also have musicals like The Birdcage, which, or La Cage aux Folles, not The Birdcage. I guess it is on Broadway as La Cage aux Folles, but translates to The Birdcage.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the song I Am What I Am, the classic gay anthem, comes from.
What I am.
And it had many disco covers after that too.
Did it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, I feel like so. Like every time I talk to Donna, I'm like, God, I am some uncultured.
Maybe
swine.
Not many, but there was a very prominent disco cover to I Am What I Am. Very.
I'm gonna have to look that up after this is over.
Yeah. So yeah, I Am What I Am was great. I mean, and it was Harvey Fierstein was the one that sang that on Broadway. I Am What I Am.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes.
And you know, in certain roles like that, so like, let's talking about Hairspray real quick, because Hairspray's been around for a while.
And Harvey Fierstein also played Edna
in
Hairspray. Was it for the live version?
For the live version,
and
yes.
I think he also probably did it on Broadway at some
point. Yes,
he
probably did it on Broadway for a while, and that was also a role that Divine also did,
mm-hmm,
as well. So that was actually, sorry, in talking about drag queen roles, Hairspray, there, mm-hmm, was a predominant role for drag queens doing that too,
yep,
with beautiful costumes that always changed on Broadway, and that was so cool. And Hairspray, once again, is talking about segregation, and talking about segregation in the 1960s and integration.
Yeah.
And it also is a body positive movie where the fat girl actually gets the hot guy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's some really great, strong themes that align with queer identity, I think, in Hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is made for a specific time period. And definitely. There's some crossover in themes there. What is your favorite song from a musical to perform?
Oh,
or just like top three?
Okay, so I know one immediately. And they're going to be musicals that are not necessarily on the list because they, mm-hmm, might not have queer themes.
Yeah.
But one of the ones I love performing to is Out Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two I love performing to, actually, I'm going to name four because I don't want to cheat them. So the other one I love performing to is I Can Hear the Bells, of course, because, mm-hmm, it's my go-to wedding song for me and my husband. And then, of course, I like pretty much anything from Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
Like, gets me rolling real good.
Yeah.
What do you like for?
My top three, I love a good ballad. I really love, like, a good ballady number. So I really love She Used to Be Mine from Waitress. That's one of my favorite.
Oh, that song makes me so sad.
I love performing that song because it is so sad. Like,
sad.
Because the thing is, it's sung about, like, a woman who's pregnant and, like, has a baby and is, like, singing it to her baby. But it also could just be, like, you singing to your past self and, like, you know, the things that you feel like, your past mistakes or things that you feel would put you in a different place now, you know.
That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
What are the other two?
I like Sugar Daddy from Hedwig. I sang that live with a band at Glam Rock, and that was a lot of fun. Let's see. My third one would probably have to be, I used to love to sing some Rocky Horror too, but I would probably have to say,
we used to do Bring on the Men quite a bit.
Bring on the Men, yeah. Bring on the Men from Jekyll and Hyde. That was one of my anthems as well. Yeah, yeah. I would say that.
Yeah, you had quite a few. You also did I Am What I Am quite a bit too, which was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and you also did Wig in the Box real good.
Wig in the Box is fun. I love that song.
I'm just like naming her like repertoire. Yeah. I'd be like, by the way, these 800 other songs that you did from musicals.
I can't remember what the song is, what musical it's from. But Everybody's Girl, gosh, what is it from? I used to have it in my head.
Isn't it Everybody Prefers Blonde or something?
No, that would, I mean,
wait, what song did you do from?
That was
Gentlemen Prefer Blonde.
One of my very first songs I performed was from that. it was called Ain't There Anyone Here for Love.
Oh, that yeah, that song, yeah. Is that a musical? Or is
I don't
that
know
a,
if they made
movie?
It into, like, a stage show, but, mm-hmm, you know, a lot of those movies from that time were movie musicals.
Yeah, people were like, Donna, wow, she just what, is there something from Casablanca she performed to? Jesus. No, that musical scene was not made for a lady. So no, she did not perform to that. As we just go through her repertoire. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to say that I do love nowadays performing to Land of Lola.
Ooh, yeah, you do. Favorite group numbers for musicals? For queens to do? Or that you see at shows, or, you know?
Oh, so group numbers... so obviously Mama and Big Girl Now from Hairspray is so good.
Cell Block Tango is a classic.
Cell Block Tango is
done to death, but you know what? Keep doing it.
It's so true.
Because I always want to hear those monologues. What did you do, girl? What did you do?
Yeah.
Pop that gun one more time.
Yeah. And then of course anything from Dreamgirls, because most of the songs are trios and whatever, and that's just of course, like the Dreamgirls song natively.
Hamilton.
Oh my gosh, Hamilton. Why didn't I talk about Hamilton on this thing? There's no gay characters in it. That's probably why. But yeah, Satisfied is also another song I've been just going to town on recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has some great group numbers too. We just actually performed as the Schuyler Sisters for a show called Drama Camp here in town.
Yeah.
That was also effing fantastic.
What, what is it from? Wouldn't you like to have Big Spender
from Cabaret? It's not
It's not. It's I know what it is.
I can't remember
what it's
called. If you remember, listeners, put it in the comments.
It's like Sweet something something Charity. Yeah, it's like Sweet Charity. I'm pretty sure it's called Sweet Charity. Look it up right now.
Okay, I'm going to look it up first because Donna's yelling at me.
We're going to Monet and Bob this shit.
Let's see. No.
Musical.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's from Sweet Charity.
I'm not.
Yeah. Hey, Big Spender, Sweet Charity.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, yeah, it's Fosse. Charity. It's Bob Fosse.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so we figured it out, listeners. I know you were on the edge of your seats for that. Oh my gosh. Let me see. Wait, no, I haven't asked you any of them. So what? Let's see. What is a song from a musical you've always wanted to perform to, but you never have?
Like, because I can't sing it vocally, or I just haven't done it yet?
You just haven't done it yet, but you've always wanted to.
Well, you know, I always thought I would make a really good Tracy Turnblad. I'm just kidding. No. No. If I could perform any song from any musical... Mm-hmm. Let's see. I've performed most of the ones that I want to perform. To be honest. Really? Yeah, I have. But, Heathers. I really want to do Dead Girl Walking. I haven't done Dead Girl
That's
Walking.
That's funny! That was mine!
Really?
When I was asking the question, that's what mine was. I was like, I've never performed a Dead Girl Walking, and I want to perform to that song.
I
want to
sing it really bad.
Yeah, and my group number that I've always wanted to do, which we've been kind of practicing, not really, would be Candy Store.
I
want to do that, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Heather's year for us listeners.
Yeah, I know.
And actually, if you tune into The Next Introvert, which, you know, you heard about in our commercial, I actually am going to be doing a song from the last 5 years that I've always wanted to perform live to at a drag show. Because I love the last 5 years. It's absolutely fantastic. So tune into that. That's a really good musical. It has Anna...
It's so good.
Kendrick?
Yeah, Anna Kendrick in the movie version of it.
In the movie version. And that boy who's really attractive.
Yes, who was on The Flash and other TV shows. Jeremy Jordan. Oh, very attractive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Good deal. I think that actually probably brings us to the end of this episode.
I think it does too. But I hope you enjoyed being really gay and musical with us.
Yeah, I hope you really enjoyed that too.
Do you want to take us away with a riff of your favorite musical? Sing something.
Oh my gosh.
Putting you on the spot.
Oh my gosh, okay. Goodbye. No, I'm just Oh my god, I didn't even talk about Ladies Who Lunch. I should have left with that.
Oh, yeah.
Here's to the Ladies Who Lunch.
Everybody laugh.
Okay, so you can find us at agemofasecretpodcast.com, listeners.
Yes.
That's where we upload every Thursday, sometime throughout the day. We're never ahead of schedule, so every time you're hearing this, we've recorded it probably the week you heard it.
Probably, yes, definitely.
Oh, good deal. So make sure to listen to those musicals. We've lifted off a bunch. We're not going to link them on our website, so you can do the work with Google.
Yep.
And be sure to take care of each other. 2020, I know we're in August, but this year has been an absolute and utter mess. And there's been so many deaths. We are coming up on election season. Vote your conscience, vote
mail-in
your heart.
Ballots for, I believe, North Carolina are mailed to their citizens on September 3rd. So it's starting. Like, we're almost in September. Like, days away.
Yeah. So make sure you, because, like, even right now as we're filming this, the Republican National Convention is currently on right now. My thing is, we're not going to actually go online and we're going to bash everybody. I mean, we hate Trump, sure, but what...
Yes.
Vote your conscience, everybody. Vote your heart. Vote and also push for who you're voting for. Tell the internet who you want. Like, let's keep the negativity to a minimum and just talk about who we want and why we want them.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be a negative against someone else. It should be, I want this person because A, B, C, D, and E.
Yeah.
So do that. That's what I'm asking for listeners. And actually, in your comments, tell us who you're voting for.
Yeah.
Or tell us some of your favorite musicals.
Yeah. And we will definitely be getting more political as it gets closer to...
Oh, absolutely.
We will be. So, you know what?
It's our show.
And not yours.
We're dumb. Okay, we're gonna end it here. Okay. All end right. Pose.
And my name is Donatella My Secrets.
And my name is Katya. No. My name is Coco Gem Holiday.
And we'll see you next week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The hosts of A Gem of a Secret Podcast are Donatella My Secrets and Coco Gem Holiday. You may follow Donatella My Secrets at Donatella_My Secrets on Instagram. You may follow Coco Gem Holiday at Coco Gem Holiday on Instagram. Original music by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them respectively at The Touche Douche and at Party Favors Music on Instagram. For more exclusive content, visit www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is agemofasecretpodcast.com. Be sure to tune in every week on Thursday for a new episode wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have any comments or questions, email us at agemofasecretpod@gmail.com. Please don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe. Until next time, goodbye.